Hallelujah. We started off the first of the year here with a vision casting and writing letters to the Lord, and then we began a message on worship, some of the foundations and fundamentals of the faith. Last week we spoke on the shaping power of prayer, and now this morning we're going to minister from the Word of God, all about the Word of God, and I have my son in love. Some people say son-in-law, but I say son-in-law, and this is Nick. Let's go ahead and pass out the teaching notes, and it's a joy to partner with you. And he said he had how many of you have ever prepared anything in the Word of God, or just received the Lord and the devil's on your back? How about that? And sometimes when you're doing things to bring the love and the blessing of God, you go through fires of testing and all kinds of challenges, and this week was a good one for you, was it not? And so, you know, so many times when you're preparing the Word, you go through the fire and the testing on your own soul to deliver the Word. So, it was a good testing fire for you this week. So, guys, get your pens out, get your hearts ready. And let's open afresh to the word that God's put in Nick's heart today. Let's pray for him. Father, we ask your blessing upon this time. We ask for your anointing freshly upon Nick. We pray for the fruitfulness that you've put in him to just pour out upon us. And we come with hungry hearts. We come with a needy heart. We come with an open heart to hear your voice in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. I am not sick. I did not smoke a cigar last night. Yesterday, I had a shouting match with the devil, and God won. There was a precious friend of mine who needed someone to stand with them and run the dogs off the property. And I'll never forget the first time my father-in-law, who is really just a father, was in my life. I was in his basement, and I was going through hell, and I needed hell out of my life, and all he wanted me to do was agree with him in Jesus' name, and I listened to him shout and scream, and I watched demons and darkness flee away from my life, and there's nothing better than when you go to the aid of a friend, and there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus, and we want to talk about him today. The Bible references him as the Word of God. And so, you know, what is the Word of God in the life of the believer? What is the Bible? You know, I don't know how you feel. I feel the following words are negative. The Bible Belt. You know, some people refer to the Bible as the law. I'm like, man, I'm always looking in my rearview mirror to see if the law is coming. I'm like worried about the law. You're telling me I'm supposed to love the law? You think I'm supposed to like this? Oh, man. Some people have called the Bible a love letter. Others have called it an instruction manual. Still others call it a sword or a weapon. I like that one. I have found it to be a star. It says the Word of God is Jesus. It says Jesus is the bright and morning star. You know, I wake up pretty early, and I love when in my darkness I see on the hills the sun come out. I love the morning star and the way it rises and the way darkness just flees. I want to tell you how you can let the star, the bright and morning star, into your life and change everything. Because actually, the Bible is for breakthrough. The Bible's for breakthrough. What do we all want? We want success. I don't care what you say. I don't care how long ago you gave up on it. We want success. It could be something small, like for your spouse to act like they love you sometimes. It could be something huge, like a big promotion. Maybe you want to be the president of the United States. I don't know. But you want something. You know you do. And even if you gave up on it a long time ago, God knows what you wanted, right? He knows you want that guy to propose to you. He knows that you want the feeling your best friend to call on your worst day. He knows what you need. We all want breakthrough. We all want success. We do, and we are made for it. There's nothing wrong with that. You were made for it. And so this is a key. The Bible is a key that unlocks closed doors, and it unlocks hidden treasures. And so it's really amazing. When you're coming to preach something and all hell breaks loose, it's really amazing when you're coming to preach something and you feel like you're in the dark. So I want to say, Jesus, thank you for coming for me yesterday, and thank you for this word. The first five books of the Bible are considered the Pentateuch or the law. God basically had Moses write down the first five books of the Bible. And what's interesting is that the very first thing that happens after what was originally the Bible or the law at the time, the first thing that happens once it's complete, Moses has died, and God has anointed Joshua, who was a real son in the faith, like us two, not born, not his physical son, but a son in the faith. God's anointed Joshua to take his people across this river into the promised land, into their breakthrough season, into what they've wanted, what God promised to them, okay? It's right where we are. It's where you are in your life. It's where you are in your life. It's where I am in my life. It's where she is in her life. Each one of us is there right now. It's what we want Jesus to do in our life next. And so it's really exciting because the Bible's just been completed. The law, the Pentateuch has just been completed. And God says to his son Joshua in chapter 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The word for prosperous and the word for success is not the same word twice. In the Hebrew, it's actually, the first one means prosperity. We like that. We're American. We like that. The second one's more like wisdom and being smart. Who wants to be rich and smart? Yeah. Sounds good to me. That sounds fun. So you want to get things. You want to understand the world. You want to understand what God's about to do. You want success in whatever your version of success looks like. Good. That's what God wants to give you. He wants to give you success. He wants you to have understanding. But there's two things that happen before that in verse 8. Many versions of the Bible miss it completely. The original language in Hebrew, remember, verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. What? But you shall meditate on it day and night. Actually, it doesn't really say that. If you really understand the Hebrew, the CEB version really makes a lot more sense. CEB writes it this way. Never stop speaking about this instruction scroll. Recite it day and night so that you can carefully obey everything written in it. I make my children do something that they're probably going to have to forgive me for later. I make them say things to me. I watch them, and you know, we've got tablets and we've got televisions, and we've got toys. And I watch them, and I say, Titus, Evie, we're leaving in 5 minutes. And they kind of look at me like I'm in the other side of some glass mirror. And they're like, huh, there's a guy over there talking to me, and they keep playing. And I say, Titus, say we're leaving in 5 minutes. And he goes, oh, we're leaving in 5 minutes. And I swear to you, it's like it went inside his brain. Saying something is so powerful. Saying something so powerful. It's mind-blowing. And God didn't tell them to read the Bible. He didn't tell them read the law a bunch. He didn't tell them to meditate on it. He told them to recite it. He told them to speak it out. And if you want to understand why your life hasn't been everything that it could be, and if you want to understand how to go to the next place that God is calling to you, start speaking what he has spoken, because words have a power. The very first thing we learn, yes, thank you, Jesus. The very first thing we learn about our God is that he spoke and the whole world was created. And scientists have proven, it's not about evolution, they've proven that there was once nothing, and they've proven that at one point there was an explosion and everything came from a single point of light. And it's our God. He's the one. And you know what? At first we were afraid of these people talking about the Big Bang, but guess what? We know the Big Banger. It's the one who spoke and the world came into existence. And we have nothing to fear about that science. Einstein was right. He understood it all came from a single origin, which was the mouthpiece of God. And I want him to create in my life his goodness and his blessing and his love and in yours. And so we have to stop saying, oh, if you had a recorder of what I said this week, oh, guys, it's not good. I don't deserve to be up here. I'm not holier than you. I said cuss words this week. I screamed at my children. I didn't just yell at them. I screamed at my children like 4 days ago. Oh, I screamed. And not for 5 seconds, guys, like 30 seconds. Like I had to repent to them on my knees later in the evening. Like these two are going to be praying for them when they're 16. And they'll be like, Grandma, Grandpa, Daddy used to scream. It was bad. I don't deserve to be up here. But by the blood of Jesus, I am just like you. And you're just like me. We're righteous. We're righteous because he says so. Do you know that children, when they're born, they are pronounced alive? Do you know when people are dead on their death certificate, they are pronounced dead? Whoa. Whoa. And some of you are not quite as expressive as I am, and that's okay. God made you quiet and humble and meek, and I love that. Okay, so your version might not be with a microphone and a podium, but in your room with the door closed and the drapes down, I need you to start speaking the word of God, even if you don't want your parents or your friend to hear you. And you need to start saying what it says about you, that I'm not, because you know, guess who comes against you? Let's go at verse one, chapter one, or whatever it's called. Point one, thank you. Point one, breakthrough starts with your mouth. Some crazy guy was elected president of the United States, and I don't care if you like him or hate him. The reality is, it all started with his mouth. The dude kept saying it. It's like, wow, there's an example for you. Never held an office before, never served in our government, has people film of him doing horrific things. Still, president of the United States today. Wow, there's a power in your mouth, my friends. There's a power in your mouth. Breakthrough starts with your mouth. And why is this important? Because everyone knows that in a war, hold on, Nick, we're in a war. Yes, guys, you're in a war. You're in a war for your soul. You're in a war for your sanity. You're a war for your success. And you're definitely at war for your spirituality. And anytime the enemy has a better weapon than us, guess what? We lose, right? You can go, my friend here understands warfare. He's an unofficial professor. If I owned a university, I would knight him with an honorary degree. This guy is a history major. This guy's incredible. Jeremy, my friend, he could tell you every moment where either money or a weapon difference or strategy difference changed every single major war. It's incredible. He understands that. So guess what? Your enemy has a huge weapon that he's been using all day long. It's called his mouth. He speaks against you. We learn in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that's fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord and their vindication from me, says the Lord. Hey, if we want to get real and you want to get inside my brain and the things that happened this week, I heard voices speaking to me and they weren't nice ones, right? Oh, those are just your doubts. No, those aren't just my doubts. Those are demons. And that's darkness. And when the enemy comes against you, what does he do? He speaks. He questions, is that really what God said to you? He questions, is God really good? Do you really have what it takes to pull this off? Does he really love you that much that he says he does? He's probably just saying that. Whoa, dude. He's powerful. He's so powerful. But guess what? Point A, the devil is just a mouse with a microphone. And I'm telling you, when he's around that corner, it's so intimidating. And you are so afraid, and it sounds so darn loud. And if you'll just go like this and peek around the corner, you'll see a dirty little rat. And if you want to, you can step on it and kick it out in Jesus' name. If his mouth is open, point B, if his mouth is open, he's lying to you. And his favorite way of lying to you is with a half-truth, okay? Oh, he'll trick you all day long. He's so good. He's the best salesman I've ever seen. But you've got something even better. You've got the living word of God. How will you choose to fight back? It says here, you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. So if we need to use the same weapon he's been using against us, against all of our parents and grandparents and everyone who's ever failed us and every political leader who's ever failed us and every person who's ever died, always went through this, back to a lady named Eve. Did God really say that you shouldn't eat from every tree? Oh, he didn't want you to be like him. What a wicked liar. So here's the deal. When God wanted to start something with Isaiah, He had angels take a coal of fire from heaven and touch his mouth and cleanse him and call him into service. God himself touches Jeremiah's mouth before commissioning him into service in chapter 1. The first act of resurrection in the believer's life when the Holy Spirit comes upon them in Acts chapter 2 is that tongues of fire appeared above them and they spoke with a different language. You think God wants your mouth? He wants your mouth. Oh, I'll never get that promotion. I just don't have what it takes. I mean, if you really knew, I mean, I want the promotion, but I'll never get it. I'll never get it. I had a friend named Sarah once at work. Sarah was afraid all the time, all the time. And I was always optimistic and happy. And she wanted to know, Nick, why are you always like this? I said, Sarah, I've heard you talking a lot about your favorite kind of movies. And she goes, yeah. I said, you love horror movies. She goes, yeah. I said, you think about and talk about and see images of the absolute worst things happening to people all the time. She goes, that's true. And I said, and so you're afraid all the time. She goes, that's true. I said, I think about and talk about how much God loves me and wants to bless me all the time. It's all I think about. It's all I talk about. It's all I believe in. I see images of when I'm driving. I envision it happening. I said, that's why I feel great. It's really simple. What are you using your mouth to create in this world? God told his servant, Jeremiah, that his tongue would have the ability to rise up nations and kingdoms, to destroy them or build them up. Whoa. Whoa. Pray for this nation, my friends. Pray for unity. Pray for peace. Pray for God to use our leaders. Our mouths are powerful. Later in Philippians, oh, this is God's favorite. In Philippians 2, it says, at the end, in the end. You ever know someone who just hates you, hates God? Guess what? In the end, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is the Lord. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is the Lord. I can't wait to see Vladimir Putin say Jesus is Lord. I can't wait to see Hitler say Jesus is Lord, that he was wrong. I can't wait. Can't wait. Every tongue shall confess Jesus is Lord. In James 3, it teaches us that the tongue is like the rudder of a ship. This tiny little part can make a huge vessel turn left or turn right. What have you been saying? Oh, this is a bad marriage. This is a bad marriage, man. Oh, you tell your best friend about it all the time. Oh, this is a bad marriage, Sally. Pray for me. Pray for me, Sally. This is a bad marriage. He's always this. He's always that. He's always this. He's always that. You know, I bet he is sometimes this, and I bet he is sometimes that. And how much of him this and that-ing you is based on the fact that you've got him in a box and you keep telling him it's who he is? Whoa! Let the poor man out! Sorry, Frank. Come out of your box! And Sally, start telling your friend, you know, yesterday was really sweet. It was just for a moment, but he did this really thoughtful thing. He did blah, 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 blah. Yeah, start talking a lot more about blah, 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 instead of this and that. Okay, praise God. So first of all, breakthrough starts with your mouth. You know, I believe the Lord wants to bless my next step. I believe God wants to bless my children. I'm going to use my mouth to speak it over them, right? Tell my daughter every night at bed, you're my favorite girl in the entire world. And we do this game, and she says, I don't know, I think it's Lara. Lara's some girl at school. And I start tickling her until she's absolutely dying. And she goes, no, it's me, it's me. I was just kidding. And then I take off the tickle hands. And she goes, I think it's Lara. And I go, oh, and I tickle her again, again, again. I make her say that it's her. I make her say it. So important. The first step to breakthrough, God told Joshua, listen, a father in the spirit, his best friend, his mentor, is dead. The first 5 books of the Bible are written, and the first thing God says to him is, stop. Do not let this thing get out of your mouth. Say it all day and all night. Okay, praise God. The next step, point 2, is that breakthrough catches fire with obedience. The whole point of him speaking out the word of God was so that he wouldn't forget a single thing written in it, so that they would do what God said. How many of you know that God has a certain way of doing things? That wasn't quite as big as exciting as the first one. Part of it's because you're writing the word obedience in the blank, and part of it's because we don't like the law. The flesh inside of us, and I'm just going to level with you here, people. I don't like it either. God has a certain way he wants your body to work, certain way he wants your sexuality to go, certain way he wants your money to go, your rest, your time, your relationships, okay? But guess what? He doesn't care. It's not because he needs you to do it. It's not because he needs your body and he needs your money and he needs your time. He doesn't need anything from you. He's God. He actually loves you and wanted you to be blessed. And it's mind-blowing, but the minute we say, you know, I guess 10% of my money really is yours because you told me it was yours. So here, you can have it. I want my 90% to go further than my 100% used to. And I swear to you, try it. Try it. Test the Lord God in this. He even says in his word, test me in this. I don't know. I don't know. It's uncomfortable to say this, but I pretty much win at everything I do. I'm being honest with you. This is weird to say, okay? And I used to tell people, oh, I don't know why. Actually, I do know why. Because I do with my body and my money and my sexuality and my time what God told me to do. And I speak his word out all day long. And point number three is that God gives the success. It's guaranteed. And most of us spend our entire life not doing point one, not doing point two, and we go try to get success. And it's not even ours to grab. He wants to give it to you. Oh, man. Oh, but I went to Bible college. I read my Bible. I don't care if you read your Bible. Well, I believe in the Lord. I don't care if you believe in the Lord. There's two things people forget to do with the Bible. Say it and obey it. Try those two. Talk to me in a month. Let's laugh about how different things are. Come to me in February, please. Come to the Lord. And you know what? It's interesting. When we start doing things his way, everything unlocks. Everything unlocks. It's not because he needs your time or your money or your sexuality or wants to control you. He literally wants to help you get to where you want to go. This Bible is a key that unlocks closed doors and hidden treasures. But we won't have anything we want as long as we forsake saying it and as long as we forsake doing it and we go out on our own like a bunch of orphan brats. You could even say like bastards, like fatherless children. Bastards running around trying to make our life work. And he comes to us so lovingly. It says in Ezekiel that he comes to us, we're like a child kicking and screaming in a field who's truly been orphaned and left to die in our own blood, in the placenta of the mother that left us in the field to die. And it says that he comes to us and that he washes us, that he cleanses us and gives us a new name and that we grow up like a beautiful daughter and he puts a nose ring in our nose and puts gorgeous clothing on us and yet we still run away from him and we still whore ourselves around. And that's the word of God uses. It's the word I'm going to use because I promise you when I'm not standing on this podium, my sin is just as disgusting as yours. And if we want to change and see the word of God manifest inside of us, we want to see the breakthrough into the season we want, we have to do it God's way. And he's not going to throw the book at you all at once. He's not going to say, well, you're doing this, 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 and this wrong. God is so beautiful. He sees you like this knit of yarn that's all messed up. And he knows, okay, this is the first thing we're going to undo. And he'll speak to you. For one person, let's say you had 10 people who are sleeping with someone who isn't their spouse, who are not tithing with their income, who are never resting, who are striving in everything they do, and who are using their mouth to curse their life. Okay? All 10 people have the same 5 problems, right? But he's going to speak to one of them, hey, I want you to tell your boyfriend we're not going to sleep together anymore and that you want to get married. He's going to tell another, the other person, the first thing to unravel might be, hey, I want you to start giving me 10% of your income. And still, to a complete another, he might say, hey, I want you to stop speaking with your mouth such death over your life. So guess what, guys? None of us are going to judge each other on which thing you do in what order or why. I ain't God, you ain't God, get off it. Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the King of Kings, the kindness of God, in his mercy, sees the first step you need to take. And this week when he speaks it to you, maybe you sense it right now in your spirit, and he speaks it to you, just follow him, just the first thing he's going to unravel. Don't worry about the rest, it'll come. It'll come in time. Life's a process. My wife told me this week, you get saved, you say, Jesus, I want you in my life. And the whole rest of your life, whether it's 10 minutes more or whether it's 10 decades more, the whole rest of your life is kind of this giant U-turn all the way around. And you know what? These two are amazing, but they're not at the end. If they're at the end, they'd be dead. Okay? This is not where you are on the curve. Each of us are loved right where we're at. And you know what? There's days that we feel like we're right at square one, man. Like when you scream at your kids or when you say stupid things at work, you know, or hurt your best friend or your wife. So in that spirit, Lord Jesus, I ask you to anoint our mouths this week. I ask you to bring us tongues of fire. I ask you to change what we've been saying, God. You know, there's a biblical word for something. It sounds kind of crazy or big or harsh, but it's important. The word repentance. We need to repent. There's going to be people standing up here, and I want you to come up here as the Lord would lead you and repent. Repent for using your mouth to curse your life. Repent for being silent where you've been silent. Repent for agreeing with your enemy instead of refuting him with the word of God. When Satan brought the word of God to Jesus and tried to twist it and tempt him and get him to do the wrong things, to break him, Jesus used the word of God back. Don't let your enemy use a weapon against you that you're not using. It's time to repent, not just for our actions. You know, I've always known it was wrong to blah, 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 blah. I've always known it was wrong, but I did it anyway. You know what, guys? Sin is just trying to fulfill a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. And your daddy, God, knows that. He just, oh, but I had heroin, fine. Oh, but I had a whore, fine. But I am a whore, fine. Every kind of sin, from me screaming at my kids, you know what my legitimate need was? My head hurt, and I needed two people to stop fighting me. I needed them to listen to me and obey me because my head hurt. It's been a long week, it's been a long year, and I just needed them to do what I said. That's legitimate. It's not legitimate for me to scream at them, but I had a legitimate need. Jesus didn't freak out when that woman was brought up to him as, oh, we've caught this adulteress. Oh, Jesus, she was found in the act. Well, where's the guy? Where's the guy? Should we stone him too? I don't remember there being one person in this act. And Jesus is like, he could probably just sense how lonely she was. He could probably just sense how broken her heart was. And he just wanted her to have the legitimate fulfillment of her legitimate need. There are no illegitimate needs. Everything is before your Father. He sees you. He just wants you to partner with him and start calling things what they are. I am the beloved of God. I am his bride. I am blessed, not because I deserve it, but because he says so. I am righteous because he says so, not because of my actions this week. I am his favorite son or daughter. You are too, don't worry. Thank you, Jesus, for the fact that you came and you broke everything that was against me, that you said trials and tribulations will come, but don't faint or be a faint of heart. I have overcome the world. And so right now, voice that's coming against my money, voice that's coming against my marriage, voice that's coming against my sanity, I tell you right now, I have the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. That's in the Bible. Look it up. Maybe next week we'll write down some things you can take home and say over your life and say over yourself. Give you a sword and a gun and a nuke to get rid of the devil. Praise you, God. Jesus, thank you for this time. We just ask you to come to every heart. Speak your love and fulfillment over every legitimate need where we've sinned and disobeyed you, God. I ask you to pour love and grace over us and pull us close to you and fulfill every legitimate need we've had inside of you, inside of your way of doing things. And as we do that, Jesus, starting by giving our life to you and then everything else you ask for, as we do that, Lord, we're going to use our mouth to partner with you. And even when it sounds silly or funny or if it's not true, we're going to choose to believe and we're going to do it afraid if we need to. We're going to do it quietly in our room, but it's going to be out loud. It's going to be out loud. And we're going to use our mouths to confess the word of God over our life. And we're going to see your breakthrough for our sons and daughters who have forsaken the living God, for our loved ones who need to come back to Jesus. We're going to see our breakthrough in our nation and over unity over racism and over sexism and anything else we're afraid of. We're going to see people healed and whole and sickness and disease go away. Years and years and years of sickness and disease, 17, 20, 30 years. We're going to see it absolved in the blood of Jesus when we partner with your word. And we're going to say, I'm healed. I'm healed because God says he's beat sin and death, sickness and disease. I'm healed because I'm yours. We're going to use our tongue to partner with you, God. In the same way, Genesis, in the very beginning, you created life. We ask you to make us creators of life. Friends, that's why you don't curse people. That's why you don't curse. If you love Obama and hate Trump, that's why you don't curse him. If you love Trump and hate Obama, that's why you don't curse him. You submit and you trust God. And you use your tongue to bless them. I bless this president in Jesus' name. I ask you to give him wisdom. I ask you to bless everything about this nation. I ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us like a flood, like a tidal wave. You have the ability to create kingdoms and cities and to build them up and to tear them down with your tiny little tongue. I'll tell you this one last thing. I'll never forget reading this book Evangeline was inside my wife's womb. And this non-Christian book calls human beings embryos, right? It's like, this week, your embryo is the size of a dime. Or this week, such and such is happening. I'll never forget. This week, the first two things to form inside the embryo are a spine and a mouth. Literally, it said, we're not sure why this is. Scientists don't know why, but God knows why. The first things he gave you was a backbone and a mouth to stand up for the truth and to speak it out. You'll need it before you get your brain. You'll need it before you get your guts. You're going to need it in this world bad. So it's the first thing he gives us. Hallelujah, Creator God. Jesus, you're so good. He's so playful. He's so playful. He's so playful. I love it. Thank you, Jesus. We're yours, Lord. Some of you need to come up here and wash your mouth out with soap. And the soap is the cleansing of the blood of Jesus and the agreement with a brother or sister. Come up here, please, prayer team. Some of you need to repent for something you've been doing that you want to stop doing. And this is our pastor ready to take us here.
Let's go ahead and stand together. I want to sing this song, and then I want to invite you to do something. Let's sing, break through all of my doubts, break through all of my fears, break through that I may worship you. Oh, break through all of my pain, break through all my guilt and my shame, break through like only you can do. I want to invite you to come forward to receive ministry. And just as Nick said, some need the Holy Spirit to wash out your mouth. I see this too. Some of you, when it comes to speaking positively about your life, your tongue is tongue-tied. And the Lord wants to break the tongue tie so you can speak positive over your life. Let's just come forward now. Come on, guys, come on forward for ministry. Break through all of my doubts. Break through all of my fears. Break through that I may worship you. Oh, break through all of my pain, break through all my guilt and my shame, break through like only you.